The hunters were more surprised to see him than he was to see them, as if he knew they were coming. The man was past middle age with streaks of gray in his hair, and his wife was very young. He showed them a good spot along the river for their camp and lingered to talk. "My wife will have food for you. You must come to my lodge and eat. You have traveled far, and I knew that you would come someday," he told them. "I know also that you have something to tell me." The hunters were reluctant, but they had been given a task. So the leader revealed the purpose of their journey. "Two of us are to remain with your wife and child, while two take you north by east across the great muddy river and on to a long, shallow lake. It is many, many days' journey, perhaps as much as one moon. When we reach that lake, you are to walk across. If you reach the other shore, you can come home." "Yes," said the man with a scar under his eye, "I will travel with you. We can leave 2 days from now. I wish to have one more day with my wife and son before I must leave. When you have made your camp, come to our lodge and eat." First a giant snake, and now a mysterious man with a scar. The hunters didn't know what to think. For certain, they had been drawn into something they knew nothing about, and a long, long journey into unknown territory awaited them. "Why must he walk across that lake?" asked one of the hunters as they made camp. "Why does he live here with only his wife and child?" asked the second hunter. "Was he banished from a village? Only people who are banished live alone." "If he is banished, what did he do?" wondered the leader. "It was more than likely something very bad. A man is not banished for something minor." The evening meal of elk stew, prepared and served by the man's young wife, was very good. She was courteous and very shy. Her baby was just now walking and stayed close to his mother after the strangers entered his home. The four hunters were polite guests and very grateful for a woman's cooking. The talk around the fire was about hunting and about the good late summer weather. Nothing was said about the arrival of the hunters or the news they brought. The evening passed pleasantly, and soon the hunters excused themselves, not wanting to overstay the hospitality of the cozy lodge. They spent the next day resting and making arrows. The leader decided that he and the youngest hunter should accompany the man north, a decision not disputed by the other two. Much of their talk was about the man with a scar under his eye, who as yet offered no explanation for his situation. They sensed that he was a good man, but they also saw a quiet sadness about him. That evening, he came to their camp. "My wife knows I must make this journey with you," he said. "She wants to accompany me. We have not been apart since we became husband and wife. It is hard for her, this thing that I must do. But she will wait, as she knows she must." "These two will stay," said the leader, pointing to two of his companions. Indicating the remaining hunter, he said, "He and I will travel with you, because a snake talked to him, and because when I was a younger man, I traveled into that north country. It is the home of our enemies, so we must be careful." "I too went north as a young man," said the man with the scar. "I crossed the Great Muddy, but it was in winter. I shall be ready at dawn, and we will go." Once again, the man had not given an explanation. "You must be cautious," advised one of the hunters who was staying. "You will be in enemy country. But more than that, there is something about this that we don't know. It is not good to be blind about anything." At dawn, the three men departed. The young wife stood at the door of her lodge and watched until she could no longer see the travelers. 10 days brought them to the Great Muddy River. It was late summer, and the powerful river was low, though it still took all of their strength to cling to a log and swim with it across to the other shore. After several more days, they were into enemy territory. The flat, wide-open prairie country can make wanderers out of any being, whether it walks, crawls, or flies. The openness, one low hill after another, beckons. The top of one hill lures one to the next to see what is beyond. The three travelers saw great herds of white-bellied goats, the antelope, and even greater herds of buffalo that covered the land like a great brown cloud. Above them soared the hawks and eagles and the buzzards and ravens. If not for the uncertainty that awaited them at the end of their journey, the joy they felt at being part of the earth would not seem so out of place. Around the evening campfires, the man with the scar had talked easily but revealed little of himself, nothing at all, to point to the reason for this strange journey. As yet he had said nothing of the snake, nor did he ask a question. The only certainty, as the snake had said, was that the man had been expecting the hunters to come to his lodge. And every night he had gone off a distance from the camp to smoke his pipe and pray. In enemy country, they travel more slowly, keeping out of sight in the valleys. 15 days after crossing the Great Muddy River, they came to a long lake that curved much like a new moon. Though they had passed by several lakes, big and small, they knew this lake was the one. There was something here. The hunters could sense it. And there were no animals and no birds in the sky or near the water. There was only a strange silence. Since entering enemy country, they had made few fires, and now they made a coal camp in a hidden cove at the water's edge. The two hunters were watchful for enemies, yet they knew somehow that none would come. "There is something about this place," the leader said. "There is a feeling here." "Yes," said the young hunter, "the same feeling when I first saw the snake." The man with the scar had spoken not at all since they had found the lake. That evening, he went off alone. In a while, they could hear him singing his death song. As the moon rose, he returned and spoke to his companions. "Tomorrow, after sunrise, I will walk into the lake, as you told me I must do. I think I know what awaits me in the water. If I do not reach near the shore, take my things home to my wife. Be so kind as to see her back to her family. She has been away from them for too long. Ask her also what you want to know about me. She will tell you." So saying, he went away to sit near the water to await the dawn. The two hunters were certain of one thing. The man with the scar on his face was brave. Dawn came and turned into a pale red glow over the east horizon, and the waters of the lake shimmered with the same pale glow. Soon the sun rose over the edge of the earth. The hunters watched as the man with the scar removed his shirt and leggings, standing only in his breech clout and moccasins, singing his death song, and without looking back, he entered the water. There was no wind. The lake was calm and flat as though frozen. A strange silence filled the air as the man walked farther and farther into the lake. It was shallow. Even as he drew near to the middle, the water reached only to his thigh. The hunters stood on the shore and watched, hoping and praying that the man would reach the other shore. The width of the lake was more than an arrow could fly from a strong bow, but they could see the other shore. When the man reached the middle, the water rose to his chest. It was then that something happened behind him. There was motion. The water began to move as if boiling. Something dark broke the surface for just a heartbeat. Then the man with the scar on his face was taken under. The hunters ran up and down the shoreline as the waters of the lake once more became calm and flat. It was as if nothing had happened. They knew in their hearts that the man was gone, but they waited, hoping. The morning passed. There was nothing, only the strange silence. Sadly, they gathered up his shirt and leggings, his bow and arrows, and his lance, and began their journey home.